Please open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, the 41st chapter, Isaiah 41, page 749 in your Schofield Reference Bible, beginning with verse 8, we'll read through verse 14. We'll read these verses responsively, and the 14th verse is the text verse for this morning's message. And let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. And let's read together the 14th. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Let's pray. And Father, we are in need of thy help, as always. And thank you for that promised help, for thy promised presence with us. And help it not to go for naught as we meet here today with thee. May miraculous things take place. May we see the miracle of new birth. May we see the consecration of our hearts and lives to thee during this Christmas season. Bless our preacher this morning, please, in Jesus' name.
I want to speak this morning on the, I mean, is there such a thing as a cute Bible verse? One of the cutest statements in the Bible. The title of my sermon is also the text. Fear not, thou worm. God says, you dirty worm, you, I'll take care of you. Don't be afraid. That's encouraging to you, isn't it? Is, fear not, thou worm Jacob. And I want to bring a message this morning on that delightful little statement, fear not, thou worm. Our Father, bless our message to our people today. And as we look at this sweet passage with its precious promise, what an encouragement it is to us, we weak, sinful, frail creatures of dust. Bless the message today. Amen. Jacob was a worm. I guess one of the worst things you can say about anybody is that he's a worm. So you sorry worm, you. Jacob was a worm. No one ever deserved that title more than Jacob did. He was a worm. Remember the birthright? He was a sissy worm. A soup cooking sissy worm. His brother was out hunting. Jacob was in the kitchen making soup. Anybody passed up a good hunting trip to make soup? The sissy. I'm worried about him. Probably carried a purse with him everywhere he went. Reminds me a great deal of Jack Patterson. But he's not here, is he? Good. And I feel sure that I can trust you totally not to reveal to him what I said. Knowing you like I know, yeah, I'm going to start carrying a gun for a few days. But Jacob made some soup. The Bible calls it red soup, probably something like our chili. And by the way, you folks up here don't know what chili is all about. I'm going to take you down to Texas someday and take some of you guys on a trip and grow some hair on your chest. And you drink some, eat some real old chili. I mean the kind where if it gets cool, the grease hardens on the top. And a third of the teaspoon is grease, hot grease. And so Jacob made some chili. His brother Esau went on a hunting trip. He came back home. He was tired. In fact, he thought he was going to die. He actually had thought he was going to die. He said, Jacob, I've got to have some of that chili. Or I'm going to die. Jacob said, well, what's it worth to you? Dirty crook. He said, what'll you take? He said, how about your birthright? Now, what was the birthright? The birthright held three things. First place, the oldest son who had the birthright, it was he who got a double portion of the inheritance. If you had three sons, for example, you'd divide the inheritance into four parts. And the youngest son would get one part, middle son would get one part, and the older son would get two parts. So that meant that whoever got the birthright got twice as much of the inheritance of the possessions of the father as the other sons did. It meant something else. It meant that whoever had the birthright in the case of the death of the father would become the priestly leader of the family. Now, by family, I mean, I'm not talking about just mom and dad and the kids. I'm talking about grandkids and great-grandkids and uncles and aunts. They didn't have churches in those days. Families met together. They lived together in families. And the father was the priest, or the pastor, you might say, of the family. And the oldest son, the one that had the birthright, would get the inherit the priestly rights in the case of his father's death. Third, in this case, it meant the right. Look at me now. Do your fingernails a little later. I'm serious about that. In the third place, it meant that the right to carry the seed of the Messiah was granted to the one who had the birthright. So these three things were in the birthright. When Jacob said, I'll give you a bowl of soup for your birthright. Esau, his brother, rightly was the possessor of the birthright. Jacob was saying, I want another portion of Dad's inheritance, or our inheritance from Dad. He was saying, I want to be the seed carrier for the Messiah. And he was saying, I want to be the pastor of the church or the family when Dad dies. Esau said, well, I'm about to die anyway. What good's my birthright going to do me if I die? He thought he was going to die. And he said, okay. He said, I'll give you my birthright for a bowl of chili. Now, God have mercy on Jacob. Jacob, you're a worm. You're up in heaven right now, but you're crawling. And you're a worm. I've got respect for you. You're a worm. Anybody that cheat his own brother like that. I mean, get an extra portion of the inheritance and be the seed carrier for the Messiah and become the pastoral leader of the family in case of the father's death, all for a bowl of soup. That sounds like the prices at O'Hara Field in the snack shop out there. And so he got it. But that isn't all that a worm did. When God said, Jacob, thou worm, he was accurately describing Jacob. Jacob came to what they thought was the deathbed of their father. He lived for a number of years after that, but they thought their father was dying. And so Esau was his father's favorite, and so Esau also he was the one supposed to get the blessing because he was the oldest son. And so Esau was a hairy kind of a fella, had hair on his neck and on his chest and shoulders and out. And so Jacob put an animal skin around his neck, so his father was blind and thought he was dying, and reached out and he felt that the skin. And he thought it was Esau. And he said, Esau. And Jacob said, yes, this is Esau. And he said, your voice is Jacob. But he said, you feel like Esau. And so he gave Esau's blessings to Jacob. And I'm saying Jacob was a worm. Well, Esau found out about this. And Esau was a strong kind of a guy. And Jacob was a mama's boy. And Esau said, I'll kill him. I'll kill him. That's what I'll do. I'll kill him. And he ought to have killed him. And if he had killed him and I was on the jury, I'd have acquitted him, I guarantee you. But his mother came to Jacob and said, "Sweetie face, darling, honey," she said, "Esau is going to hurt you, darling, and so you better leave because he's going to kill you." She said, "Now what you ought to do is take off and go down to the old country now, and you hide there till Esau, this temper tantrum blows over of Esau." And so Jacob leaves. Now bear in mind, he's a worm. He's a worm because I think he's a worm. And secondly, he's a worm because God thinks he's a worm. And if God didn't think he's a worm, I still think he's a worm. Anybody's a worm that's a sissy. Anybody's a worm that steals from his brother. Anybody's a worm that tricks his brother. Anybody's a worm that deceives his father. He's a worm. And God said, "Jacob, you're a worm." Jacob takes off and goes down toward the old homeland. Homesick, lonesome, discouraged. Time to go to sleep. Has no place, no motels, no hotels, no place to sleep. He just gets him some stones here and makes the stones into a pillow so he can hold his head up off the ground a little bit and goes off to sleep. And there he has the vision of Jacob's ladder. You know the story about Jacob's ladder. He has that vision. God is with him. That's the thing I want to say this morning. God is still with him. God says, "Fear not, thou worm, fear not." Jacob was afraid. Bless God, he wasn't what he ought to be, but he was God's child. And God said, "You're still my young'un." There's several things here I want you to notice that I love. First is, God goes with you wherever he makes you go. God goes with you wherever he makes you go. Jacob is being punished by God. He's leaving his father. He's leaving his mother. He's leaving his brother. He's leaving his family. He's leaving his home. He's leaving his country. He's leaving his friends. He's leaving his heritage. He's leaving his roots. And God's punishing him. But the sweet thing about it is this. Though Jacob did not know it, God goes with him where he made him go. God says, "Jacob, you're a worm, but I still love you. Jacob, you're a worm, but you're my worm. Jacob, you're a worm, but don't be afraid. Jacob, you're a worm, but don't be scared. Jacob," God says, "Jacob is a worm, but he's mine." Now let's get this settled. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, your name is written in heaven, and you're God's child no matter what you do. Salvation is not by what you do or what you don't do. And if it's not by what you do, it's not by what you can't lose it, what you don't do. And if you don't get it because of what you don't do, if you don't get it because of what you don't do, you don't lose it because of what you do. Salvation is God's eternal, irrevocable gift to those who by faith will trust Him as their hope for heaven. Jacob, you're a worm, but you're my worm. God, this morning, I'm talking to some people who've done some things you shouldn't have done. And this morning, you may look at yourself and say, "I'm a worm," but God says, you're His worm. And God may be punishing you this morning, but wherever God sends you in punishment, He'll go with you. And though Jacob had done awful things and had rebelled against the commands of God, and had taken God's business in his own hands and had acted like God and deceived his father and deceived his brother and deceived himself and wrecked his own character, no doubt about it, God still followed Jacob wherever he went. I remember years ago, our kids were little, and I'll talk about Becky because she was the first. I didn't want Becky to be afraid of the dark. And so, we lived in Texas at the time Becky was a baby, and so I, dusk in the evening, before dark, just after sunset, I'd put Becky on a little pallet. Is that a good word? You know what a pallet is? A little quilt in the yard. I'd put her on a little pallet or quilt out in the front yard by herself. She's maybe a year, two, three. Put out there by herself, about a little after sun. It's still light, but sun is setting, has set. And I'd put her there. And I'd get inside the house, and I'd just sit there and read the paper, and I'd watch Becky. And as it got darker and darker and darker and darker, I wanted Becky to get where she wasn't afraid of the dark. And And that's the way I taught her not to be afraid of the dark. And it'd get gradually darker and darker and darker, but I was watching on the inside. And all of a sudden, after it had been dark a few minutes, Becky'd realize it was dark. And she'd get scared. And she began to cry because she's in the dark. And Daddy, inside the house, watching her all the time, would come out, pick her up, and say, "Honey, Daddy's in here, and he's been watching you." Now, she didn't know I was watching her. And the darkness came, but I was there watching her. She could not see me. I don't care what you've done, God's eyes are still upon you. I don't care what you've done, God still loves you. I don't care what you've done, you're still God's child. You sit in the house, could I do bad and still be a Christian? Well, you do bad all the time. If only those are saved who do good, nobody would go to heaven because the Bible says our good is like filthy rags in the sight of God. Boy, I love this statement God made to Jacob. I love it. He said, "Fear not! Fear not. Thou worm." Second thing I notice here. Not only will God go with you where he makes you go, but God will not allow, I love this, he will not allow another to punish you. God said, "Jacob," now God's knocking a fire out of him, but he said, "Fear not." He said, "Jacob, you're a worm," but he said to every enemy of Jacob, "You keep your hands off of him. He's my child." You see, God writes the prescription for all the medicine he makes you take. Nobody could hurt Jacob but God. God said, "He's my child, and you keep your hands off of him." God will not allow another to punish you. So God says to Jacob, "Jacob, you're a worm. You've tricked your brother. You've deceived your father. You're a crooked. You're a deceiver. You're a snake. You're subtle. You're a worm." But he said, "You're my worm." Oh, let me tell you this morning, God says to the whole world, "Take your hands off my children. If my children need spanking, I'll spank them, and you take your hands off of them." God will not allow another to punish you for what you've done unless he gives the permission. God decides the punishment you need, and nobody else can hurt you. If you're God's child, God will take care of the chastening. God will take care of the punishment. And so he says to Jacob, "Fear not, thou worm." Number three, not only does he go with you where he makes you go, and not only will he not allow another to punish you, but number three, he protects you while he punishes you. Let me illustrate. My sister had done bad. It was not unusual, it was a common thing. She had done bad. And so my daddy decided to let her have it. Now my daddy didn't spank often. He wasn't home enough to spank, but when he spanked, he got everything. Yeah, dad shaved with a straight razor and had a razor strap. You know how sharpen on a razor strap the razor, and I mean it's just like a knife, like a knife, like that, and it sharpened that blade on that razor strap. Come here, John. I want to show you. But those razor straps, folks, were the predecessor to the atomic bomb. I'll be honest with you, they were about the size of a big belt, eight times as large and heavy. Leather, real leather. And my daddy was letting Earlene have it with that razor strap. And I was praying for her to hurt. And so he was letting her have it. And I thought, well, he needs some help. She's been bad. He kept saying what she'd done, how bad she was. And I got thinking, well, anybody's that bad, I ought to help him spank her. So I walked up. I got my own little belt. She has been over there. Dad was lashing it on her body. And letting her have it. Whack! Whack! Earlene was quoting, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Well, she said something about God. Maybe it wasn't that. But anyway, she was screaming and crying. And I said, And so he had said, you know what? You shouldn't have done this. And you shouldn't have done that. And you shouldn't have done this. And I thought, good night. That's the worst sinner I ever saw in my life. He made me mad at her. I grabbed my belt. What? He left her and attacked me. He said, you keep your hands off of her. Well, I said, you, all that stuff she's done. He said, it's my job to spank her. You keep your hands off of her. And that's what our God says. You, God's child, and you disobeyed God and misbehaved. God comes along and says to you, I'm going to spank you. But bless God, while he's spanking you, he's saying to everybody else, keep your hands off my child. I'll spank my own child. Jacob, fear not, thou worm. I love it, I love it, I love it. Don't be afraid of anybody, thou worm. You sorry worm, I'll protect you. You worm, I'm your God. You worm, you're still going to heaven. You worm, your name is still written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You worm, I still love you. You worm, I'll still protect you. And God says this morning, he says, I don't care how far into sin you've gone, I still love you, and I'll still receive you back, and I'll forgive you. But he said, I've got to spank you. I've got to chasten you. I've got to peddle you. I've got to put the razor strap on you. But he said, I'll guarantee you this, I will not let anybody else harm you. Jacob, God bless him, traveling down away from God's plan for his life to spend 20 years away from God, lonely, guilty, forsaken by his family. His mother even thought he ought to leave. Bear in mind, he's not a rugged fella. This is not a hunter Esau who's trapped animals in the woods. This is not the rugged Esau who has a strong physical body. This is Jacob, the tender one, the more sissy one, the less rugged one. It's not Esau. Esau maybe could have made it, but not Jacob. Jacob is leaving his home and his homeland and his family and his brother and his mother and his father. And he's on his way being punished by God. And he goes to sleep at night and God walks up and says, Jacob, I love you. You're mine. And don't you be afraid. Now, Jacob, I'm going to have to spank you, but I guarantee you one thing. Nobody else is going to spank you except me. He protects you while he punishes you. I was preaching in a distant state a few weeks ago. Some former member of our church, this is a very strange thing. I won't call the name of the place, the state, or the person. But this person had gone to the pastor and said, I used to belong to First Baptist Church of Hammond. Brother Howell should be my pastor. He said, I'd like to introduce him if you don't mind. Well, that never happened before. And this lay person, used to be a member of this church here, introduced me on Monday night while I was preaching. He stood up and he said, I've asked for the privilege of introducing Brother Hiles. He said, for years, Brother Hiles was my preacher. He said, now folks, before he preaches, I want to warn you. He's going to skin you. I want to warn you. You're going to get it tonight. He said, I sat in the pews in his church for years, and I want to tell you now, you're about to get it. He's going to let you have it. Then he began to cry, and he said, but I want to tell you something else. He said, he'll love you while he's doing it. He said, he'll love you. He said, I want you to know, nobody in the world could have said to me what Jack Howell said to me while I was this member of his church. But he said, he'll love you. And he said, when he spanks you. And he said this. He said, even if he's not right on what he preaches, he thinks he's right, and he thinks it's best for you to do what he says. And regardless of what you think about his preaching, I'll guarantee you, the man's got a heart that's filled with love. And that's what God was saying to Jacob. Jacob, you're a worm. You ought to get it. And I'm going to give it to you. But I love you, Jacob. I love you. I said in the wedding last night, because there was a beautiful story I did not tell and will not tell about the wedding, but I said in the wedding last night, I was thinking about the wedding and the story behind it, and I got to loving God in my office, and I said, God, I wish I could hug you. And I wish I could hug him. I wish I could explain. I'm giving serious consideration. I'm not going to do it, but I've considered it seriously. Of preaching every Sunday morning next year on one word, and that's God. I honestly for a long time, seriously considered just preaching on God. I'd like to preach one Sunday on how good God is. I'd like to preach another Sunday on how patient God is. I'd like to preach another Sunday on how merciful God is. I'd like to teach another Sunday on how forgiving God is. Just to say what I've said often from this pulpit, ladies and gentlemen, we have a wonderful, marvelous, blessed, glorious God who loves us. He said, Jacob, you worm, I'll protect you, and I love you. I said, as Jacob is leaving home, stops to rest there at a place where he saw the vision of the ladder and the angels of God ascending and descending the ladder, and the place where it was called Bethel, because he said, mine eyes have seen the Lord. And he called it Bethel, the house of God, the sacred spot. I said, Jacob didn't deserve that ladder. And once in a while somebody will say to me, well, how's he got what he deserved? I know he's in a car wreck, but he got what he deserved. You better pray God you don't get what you deserve. Jacob deserved to be punished, but God loved him, and God said, I don't care what you've done, you're still my child. And I love you, Jacob. He said, I'll go with you wherever I make you go. He said, in the second place, I'll not allow another to punish you. In the third place, he said, I'll protect you while I punish you. But in the fourth place, I love this, he hurts with you when he makes you hurt. He hurts with you when he makes you hurt. God said, Jacob, I don't like to see you without your mama. I don't like to see you without your daddy. Jacob, I don't like to see you without your home. I don't like to see you. You're my child, and I love you. I don't like to see you out here, but I've got to do it. Now, won't you know, Jacob, while I hurt you, I'm going to hurt as much as you do. A man in this room not long ago, you'll never know who it is, and I'm not betraying any secret. His son had broken his heart. And the man said to his son, he got a razor strap or belt or something to spank. He used it to chasten. And he said to his son, son, punishment's got to be given. But he said, son, I feel like I failed you. He said, I feel like it's my fault that you did what you did. I feel like, of course, I don't agree with this. I don't think any son's got a right to feel bitter toward his parents, or any daughter has a right to feel bitter toward your parents. And nothing makes me any madder for some ungrateful son who's fed and clothed and housed by daddy say, I'm bitter at my dad. Well, you ought to be praising God. Somebody loved you enough to put some food in your hole in your face and fill your stomach and give you and bitter at my mother. How dare you be bitter at someone who suffered the pangs of hell itself to give you life? If that's all she did, you ought not be bitter at her. But anyway, this father said to his son, son, you spank me this time. And gave the son the belt. He said, you've done wrong, and I'm disappointed in you, but I feel like it's my fault. He said, you spank me. Can you imagine how much God loves you? How often have I said this? Take all the love that every mother has for a newborn child and add to that all the love that a father has for his son or daughter, and add to that all the love that a bride has for a new husband or a groom has for his new wife, and add to that all the love that sweethearts have for each other in the whole world, and add all the love the world has ever known up into one great sum, and you'll not even have a fraction of how much God loves you. Can you imagine how it must have hurt God when Jacob was lying there with the stones for a pillow that night? And Jacob was sobbing because he was homesick. Can you imagine how God must have felt? And God said, Jacob, I hurt when you suffer. I suffer. He said, you're a worm. But you're my worm, and I'm going to hurt with my worm. I hasten because of time. The fifth thing I want to give you, not only does God go with you where He makes you go, and God will not allow another to punish you, and God protects you while He punishes you, and God hurts with you when He makes you suffer. But number five, the whole purpose of it is God wants to make you usable again. Why is Jacob cast away from his home? Why has Jacob left his roots? Why has he left his homeland? Why has he left his mama, his dad, his brother, his friends, his whole life? Why has this young man had to leave home to go back to a country he doesn't know much about? Why? I'll tell you why. God said, Jacob, I've got to make you usable again, and I can't make you usable unless I punish you. That's the purpose of all of it. And God did make him usable again. That's why God punishes you. God does not give you vengeance. God does not, out of a heart of hatred, punish you. God says, I want to make you usable. That's why I punish you. And I come to the last thing, and I want to dwell a while on this. God only uses worms. That's all he has is worms. Jacob, thou worm. God could say this morning, Jack, thou worm. God could say to John Colston, John, thou worm. God could say to Roy Moffat, Roy Moffat, thou snake. A little lower than the wormholes. But he said, thou worm. Aren't you glad God uses worms? I've been getting a sermon, and I'm going to preach it one of these days, on the subject. I can tell how much you've been with God. Because when you've been with God, you don't think very highly of yourself. Job said, I preached about last Sunday night, I've seen the Lord, and I abhor myself. He didn't say, I feel good about myself. I'm so sick and tired of these books coming out. How to feel good about yourself. I want somebody to write a book on how to feel good about God. Mine eyes have seen the Lord, high and holy and lifted up. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. I'm a worm. But thank God he uses worms. Once in a while somebody says, you think God can use him again? You better be wondering if God can use you again because you're just as much a worm as he is. Well, I'll give you a little advice this morning. As soon as the worm... Say, when can God use a worm? As soon as the worm knows he's a worm. If Jacob had said, oh, God, I'm a worm. God had said, let's get back in the battle, Jake. But God had to call Jacob a worm because Jacob didn't say he was a worm. God, as soon... Listen, if you want to avoid a lot of punishment, you become a worm in your own sight in a hurry and you'll get a lot less punishment. You stay down at Tennessee Temple. Dr. Robertson was a soft touch. He used to say, anybody got in trouble at Tennessee Temple, if they get in trouble and there's a Sunday before they had to face Dr. Robertson, they'd just get saved again the next Sunday. And Dr. Robertson, great soul that he is, he said, that's the way to get forgiven. You won't get any punishment. Nobody ever got expelled from Temple that got saved again. Sorry, Hal Anderson students. It won't work here. It won't work. But that very gesture of Dr. Robertson is so godlike. All God wants you to do is have a big God and a little you. Oh, but Brother Hiles, I've lost my self-esteem. Good, you're on your way. How about getting your God esteem? On your way. Paul didn't have much self-esteem when he said he was chief of sinners. I better watch that. I'm going to preach a sermon. I've already been preparing. I'll get something else. I'm simply saying, when a person comes to a place where he says, oh, God, I'm nothing. God says, good, I can use nobodies. I can use worms. And God comes to Jacob and says, Jacob, fear not, thou worm. Don't be afraid, you worm. The sooner you see it, the sooner he'll use you. It took Jacob years to find out he was a worm. For 20 years, Jacob never realized what a worm he was. God could have made a prince of Jacob that night at Bethel if Jacob had realized that he was a worm. You're listening this morning, not to a preacher of a big church. You're listening this morning to a sinner that deserves to go to hell, who's been saved by the wonderful grace of God. And for these 40-some-odd years, God has used this worm. And I want to say to you this morning, as soon as you realize that you're nobody, and as soon as you come to God and say, oh, God, I'm a worm, but could you use a worm like me? God says, good! I've been looking for a little you and a big me all along. God comes to Jacob and says, Jacob, you're a worm, but I want to use you again. The day came when Jacob realized he was a worm. He got afraid. How many times have I told this story through these years? Jacob all of a sudden decided, I've wronged, I've done wrong.
I've sinned. I tricked my brother, deceived my dad. Got out of here and made all this money, and I'm a rich man now. I'm going to go back and apologize to my brother.
Jacob goes back to his brother. Now, bear in mind, his brother's a big fella. His brother's strong. Jacob is not a strong man. Jacob goes back, and he comes to a place called Jabbok. And Jacob falls down that night to pray in Jabbok, and there comes the angel of God and wrestles with Jacob.
And Jacob said, "You're not going to leave like get a blessing from you. I've got to be blessed. I'm going to go back and tell my brother and apologize to him."
And Jacob becomes a worm in his own sight. God's about to use Jacob. And they wrestled. Jacob gets up the next morning after wrestling with God all night. All of a sudden, he's limping. He has a hurt. He's got a problem. He's crippled. God said, "Jacob, now that you're crippled, I can use you. I want to change your name from Jacob, which means trickster and schemer and crook, to a prince. I'm going to make you a prince." May I say this and I'll close. I've often wondered why God has used this preacher. I really have. I've often wondered why God put me on the program many years ago with the big giants of the faith of the last generation. I was preaching in Kansas City, Missouri at a big convention. This has been years ago when I was still in my 30s. I was closing that convention out with the main message, the keynote address. I walked in, looked at the fellows on the program before me that week in that convention. May I give you a list of the names in the program? Dr. R.G. Lee, Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., Dr. Bob Jones, Jr., Dr. John R. Rice, Dr. Lee Robertson, and then it said keynote address, Dr. Jack Hiles. And I was on the platform about ready to speak, and I saw that list of names, and I said, "Oh God, what am I doing here? I'm just a poor boy that came from the ghetto. I'm no big preacher." And I've always marveled at why God has used me through these years. Please, could I tell you why I think He has used me? Because I know I'm a worm. I'm a nobody. I'm not a blue blood. I'm not pedigreed. My daddy was an alcoholic. My mama was so poor she couldn't even afford to go to the dentist, and her teeth looked like they were cut out of a piece of coal. When I surrendered to preach, went off to college, I majored in Bible and also secondary education because I knew I'd have to teach school to make a living. I knew I'd never pastor a church big enough to pay me a full-time salary. I know I'm not a big shot. But I've got a big God. And God comes this morning to this building and says, "I want to use you." Any worms here? Any worms? You fall on your face and say, "Oh God, I don't deserve to be used. I'm a sinner. I'm not what I ought to be. I don't deserve to be used at all." But I read your ad, classified ad said, "Wanted worms." I qualify to that. God comes this morning and God says, "I can use you. I need worms. I don't need big shots. I need worms. I don't need peacocks. I need worms. I don't need proud Pekingese dogs. I need worms." If you can ever get the place in your life where you get your eyes off everybody else and quit calling everybody else worms and realize that for the grace of God, you'd be in hell right now burning for. God comes and says, "Jacob, thou worm, fear not. I love you. And as soon as you can find out that you're a worm, I'll use you." I wish I could do one thing for Christianity. I wish I could do one thing for this church. I wish I could get the eyes of the people in this church off of the people in this church. I wish I could get your eyes on off of the people, because you think you look pretty good compared to the people. Why don't you compare yourself to the Son of God for a while? The truth is, you look pretty good to yourself. I wish I could get the eyes of the people in this church off of other sinners. No sinner has a right to call another sinner a worm. No worm has a right to call somebody else a worm. But you can come to God yourself and say, God, I see you. Woe is me, for I'm undone. My lips are unclean. My people's lips are unclean. For mine eyes have seen the Lord. And God comes this morning and says, I'll use you when you realize that you're a worm. But until you realize that, I'll protect you. He says to the backslider, fear not, thou worm. He says to the rebellious, fear not, thou worm. Let me praise Him and I'll close. Let me thank Him and praise Him for another year. Another year of His blessing. Another year of His comfort. Another year of His strength. Another year of His goodness. Another year of His mercy. And I hope in 1989 He still uses worms. I want Him to use me. I hope He'll use you. And He will use you. As soon as you become a worm in your eyes. But hallelujah, until that day comes, you're still His. And He says to you and to me, fear not, thou worm. Father,